Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Good morning.
Oh, Randy at the finish line there. Nicely done.
Really, Raven.
You were a hair behind though, Brian. Just barely.
I hit the finish line like a Belgian shot putter running hurdles.
Oh wow!
Wait a minute.
Wait. I feel like I should know this reference.
I feel like you've mixed your Olympic events.
Did you not see this last weekend?
I apparently did not. Did a Belgian shot putter flip over a hurdle or something?
There was a track and field event where a bunch of European nations competed in a team scoring format. So they brought their teams, and every part of the event counted for points. And so you had to participate. And the last of like the 10 or 12 events was the 100-meter hurdles. And the Belgian women had injuries and they were out of runners. And so they had to complete it. So they put their shot putter, who's the best in the world, apparently, at shot put.
Yeah, I was going to say probably not at hurdles.
Oh,
yeah,
they put their shot putter out there. And then, look at her go.
And,
I just found it.
She ran this thing, and she's tall enough that she can just step over the hurdles. And she takes it very carefully to not knock any hurdles down and to make sure she finishes the race without getting any disqualified for any reason.
And it's super cute. The people at the end are all celebratory with her and stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah. And she,
I love when somebody's a different size. It makes me laugh.
She looks like a different species.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the other runners look like a different species.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys have to hurdle those? Let me just step over and show you how to do this.
Isn't that great? It's totally great.
Oh my God. I love it.
What a great story.
And that's because they had to finish that event, and they didn't have anybody else to do it. But
could have did a lot worse than her, man. She was just like step. You could have had me. That would have been way worse.
Yep. And she rocked her own event, right? The shot put probably
She won that event, and she's also a hammer throw expert. So very interesting little thing. That was like, I am realizing. I pay too much attention to the memes every day.
Yeah. The memes. Like the memes? Love to know your meme. I go there every day just to make sure I'm not missing out on a meme.
Yeah, you don't want to be wrong, do you?
I don't want to miss out on a meme and not understand what's going on right now with this meme. I don't get it.
I have a question for Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, ask away.
So I have, as I think I've told you, I have a friend named Dudonio. He's Mexican. He vets everything for me because he watches everything. This guy watches everything. Yesterday we were chatting about all the new stuff, and I'm like, what do you think of Secret Invasion? I haven't watched it yet. And he told me about this aspect of Secret Invasion that he hates, like with such a hot hate. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I can believe this. So I just want to ask you, Brian Ibbett, anything hateful for you in Secret Invasion so far?
No, I mean, there's a loss of a character that really bummed me out, but I didn't hate it. I felt like it's.
I'm sorry. I love the idea of Ibbit being bummed out. Oh, man.
I'm bummed out, man. Me like that character, so man.
You go eat my feelings.
Could that have been it, though?
Is it the AI thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the AI intro. Okay. It's just the intro, right? The intro.
I like the weirdness of it. I feel like, and they, you know, somebody came forward from Marvel, or actually, it was the studio that did the intro. Said, no artists lost their job. You know,
the AI thing.
Yeah, there was no artist that.
I kept hearing you'll say "I" lost thing.
Work. Oh yeah, it was an "I" thing. Yeah, that basically no artists were out of work because they did this, and I think for what this is, I think it fits perfectly.
Yeah,
it fits perfectly with the whole Skrull visual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Doesn't
it
make sense?
People get so mad about stuff, and I get it. If you're threatening my job, I get mad too. Hey, get out of my job. Get out of my job.
You know what? Part of it is it's overexposure to the controversy of it, and then when you see it, you know it because it has the look of AI, and that's kind of annoying because you're like, oh, look, I'm sick of looking at this stuff. But I also think it's perfect for that intro. I don't have a problem with it. My favorite use of AI is video stuff. Yeah.
To make it perfectly right, all I want is for the intro to include some different people smiling, and they have 107 teeth and 17 fingers each. That's all I want.
Yeah, more teeth, more fingers.
I like
when
the teeth are separate. Like, it's like it's almost an extra. It's like it's not even attached to the face. It's just like in the middle. Like they're eating teeth.
Like they're.
Can you imagine? Imagine the out not outtakes, but like the art they didn't use for the intro that it came up with, like. Oh my God, now he turned into a giant beach ball or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So we can't put that on there.
Love that idea.
Yeah. That's offensive.
Love it. Love it. No, it's like of all of the uses of AI, like all the use cases I've seen, one of my favorites and the one that pops in my brain the most is video. Like video, video to me is just absolutely wild use case for AI stuff. Whereas still images, whatever, some of them are so hyper realistic. It's like, we'll just take a picture. It's like, who cares? Like, it's not that big deal.
That's been my opinion for a long time. Though.
Yeah. But like, the video
as an artist, this is no offense to any artist. I also pursued photorealism in my art because I wanted to be able to prove to myself that I could do it. Yeah. But then when I see art students do photorealistic stuff, I'm like, okay, are you inspiring any conversation or discussion? I mean, it is amazing what you're doing. The skill that it took to do that is amazing. But if your audience just looks at it and goes, is that a photo? Then have you really expressed anything? Unless the point is irony, this is not a photo. I mean, just making something photorealistic, that doesn't seem to have, in my opinion, it seems like you work really hard for something that's not going to create a lot of conversation or
Scott,
talk.
Scott.
Or, you know, not that's not valid.
Yeah,
that's just me.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like the best case for AI in the future is when we reach a level of processing where you can have AI imagery that you just couldn't do with humans because what you're seeing is too dangerous, risky, you know, lethal, this kind of thing,
or like time consuming or whatever. Yeah.
I think the time consuming thing is the most important.
Yeah,
part,
I totally agree with that. I've seen like this. There's this one. I don't know who makes it or how this stuff's done. It's maybe a combination of tools, but you basically just take any shot of you doing something. You take your initial video of you leaping onto a bed, and then right before you hit the bed, this thing will take that freeze frame moment and then just morph it into the most psycho, weird 10 minutes of like almost like, you know, that Beavis and Butthead sequence in the Beavis and Butthead movie?
Right.
Where they take drugs or they get peyote or whatever. And I think it's I think that was Rob Zombie doing that art and music for that. Right. But anyway, that on like steroids is what that reminds me of. And I don't know why. I could sit and watch that all day. Like, and I don't feel like that is a thing a human could do easily. Let's say easily, because I suppose with enough manpower and time you could do anything. But
well, and you bring up Morph. Like when we first got that tool. I remember getting like a Mac app application that I had to buy that did morphing. Did people have a problem with that? Because, oh man, you know, people, artists could have gone through and created each frame in between those two frames of people.
Oddly, I don't remember much about people being mad about morphing. No. I do remember people being mad about rotoscoping because it felt, everybody was like, oh, all you're doing is filming somebody and then drawing on top of it. That's not animation. But morphing, I agree. Maybe there's certain areas that we just go, what would be the point of laboring over that?
Right. 3D animation, you know, like, oh, all you have to do is just create physical or create three-dimensional versions of characters and then make them walk around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It cuts down all the having to worry about how to shade something and lighting. If you can just put a light source in a computer in 3D, you no longer have to concern yourself. You can concern yourself with shapes. And if that's your passion,
right,
you know, to have a language that is spoken in shapes and you don't really care about the lighting, but it enhances it some, mm-hmm. then why would you spend all that time making it photorealistic?
We had this conversation on DTNS once about how you could really get down in the weeds and start saying, well, isn't tweening a form of the computer taking over? Like you're saying, yeah. Well, I want to go from this space to this space.
That's in-betweening for those who are not.
Right. You're not aware of what that means.
I like that your explanation really is just add a few more letters.
Yeah.
Right. In between, meaning that the things between the two main shots that make up the animation.
Yeah. That's not filling the screen full of tweens, 13-year-old kids. Right.
Exactly.
But the idea like of that being, you know, these are things that have saved people time so they can get on with the business of creation, right? It's like makes everything faster. Control Z is another thing that Photoshop artists will love until they're dead. Like quick copy and paste, symmetry, this sort of stuff. We're used to these tools being there for us to do more. The difference with this and the reason it freaks people out, there's a couple of reasons, but one of them is it in theory won't need you at all to do anything other than maybe a prompt or two. And that's where people get freaked out because this is no longer a tool to help the artist.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to
interrupt. No, go ahead. You're good. Right.
This is where I feel like I think I've kind of looked at the end thing and said, okay, so where are we going? Well, when you eventually get to where actually using the AI, you're going to allow artists to focus on even better and greater content. So If you generate AI and you just put in the minimum amount of effort and you just gently go to AI, it will make something. But a human guiding AI with a vision that is connected to humanity and the understanding of how to speak to humans, mm-hmm. you're going to have an end product enhanced by the AI that's going to be greater than anything that AI could create on its own. So there's always going to be artists, and we're just going to work faster and we're going to have cheaper things. So like we watched this James Bond movie this past week, and you can look at it and go, oh, that's so stupid. Look at that dumb thing. You know, because it's just outside the ability to spend enough money to make it look enough research development to make it look like what we expect
boat,
today.
Anything looking out of the windows of that boat, we're all reminding me of like, oh boy, we really did some shitty green screen back then. That was pretty bad.
But it was the best we had at the time, and we made new tools, and now we made it better, and we keep you know, iterating and making it better. And
we do.
Our limitation is the fact that some people think that what we're seeing now is the limits of what humanity can do. And I see it as, this is not the limit. This is, we've just found another tool, and now we can go even further.
Yeah,
even
it's just another. It's another step. It's another step. Yeah. You're totally right. I agree with that. I just think that the fears around it are.
We got to worry about the money guys. The money guys are always trying to find a way not to pay, because salary is always
that's
the money
guys. Point.
That's always the most expensive thing. Oh, salary so expensive.
That's 100% my point. Is that's what people are worried about, and they should be. There's a reason that you know. These strikes, the writer strike and the SAG after pending strike and all this stuff are happening. It's not just about pay. It's about future.
They're not mad at AI. They're mad at, they know these assholes. They know the money, man. The assholes are going to try to, you know, keep as much money.
They already do. Right. They already do. And these potentially are ways for them to do that more. Yeah. And eventually that's untenable for employees, but I don't know. I think it's fascinating because I love like the what's interesting to me is I feel like I've gone through like the stages of grief with AI a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
You're in acceptance now.
Yeah. I'm at the stage of like, all right, I accept it for it's the genie's out of the bottle. It's freaking here. Right.
So right.
It's not going to be able to put it back in.
And I, because you know,
and then B, because I don't, when you come to that conclusion, it's easier to see it a little more clearly and not get your biases in the way. And
right.
So I'm trying to be more open.
I remember watching Scott go through the initial emotions of this and just feeling like, holy shit, I've been drawing for all these years, learning all these techniques, and now AI is going to come along and just go, boink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get that the lost cost fallacy where you think in your mind, it's like, oh shit, I put all this time in, and now it's like, what was the point?
It's like you learned an antiquated coding language.
Right.
You're like, no one ever wants me to know how to code in BASIC anymore.
Right. But I'm telling you, Scott, there's nothing that AI can create that's anywhere near as wonderful and is in connecting to humanity as your Fred and Ken comics and stuff like that. AI can't touch none of that shit. They can pretend to be you like a parrot can go, look at me, I'm Scott Johnson. But, you know.
Well, that's the other thing is a lot of what we think it's going to do, when we ask it to do it right now, it's terrible at it. Like I tried to get it to duplicate a comic or make a funny comic strip. Have you tried to make AI a funny joke? Because it is some real bullshit coming out of there.
You didn't read my toilet comic strip I made from AI?
No, I missed it. I missed it.
I'll have to grab that. I used ChatGPT to write a haiku about a loose toilet, and then I generated a 4-panel comic from that using stick figures. It's very rudimentary. You can find it and I'll send it to you. But in the chat room, I posted my my crossover, the two discussions we had, memes and AI. So I took Bubble Girl and I generated an AI image of her running from dinosaurs.
I want to see this. Are you putting it in?
Yeah.
There?
And put it in Discord. Did I not put it in Discord?
Oh, Frozen is not showing up. Oh, there it just popped. It was weird. All right. Oh. I see what you're doing. See, I even tried to get mine to do it like comic strip style. Like, let's have some flat color ink looking at, you know, kind of the standard thing, something I might do. And it just did. It was bullshit. It was so bad.
Yeah. There is an art to just everything else. There is an art to using the tool, and it's complicated, and it's not something that just anyone can do.
And it just doesn't fit every situation. Like we think it does, but I don't think it does. And these people are like, oh, the society will be gone in 3 years if we let this run the way it's running.
Right.
And I think that's ridiculous. That sounds stupid.
Yeah. We're just going to make even better shit. And people who are, grabbing a hold of it, they're just going to be at the forefront of that. Of course, it's not always good to be first either.
I found a great article from I guess it would have been late 40s when the television finally was a thing you could put in your house.
It's going to kill the radio.
Oh my gosh. Not just that. It was like just death and doom to anyone who had one. You're all a bunch of drones. Keep it out of your hat. Like it was like this insane level of fear mongering that was going on around TV. And I guess it's true of everything. It's like the comics code, all that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's just my comic.
I wouldn't have believed any of that, Scott. Like I seriously wouldn't have said, oh, you know, humanity is set up to be all conspiracy theorists. And then we came along with a deadly disease and a life-saving vaccine.
Yeah.
And so many people became crazy conspiracy theorists. Oh no.
Yeah.
This is not going to go well in the future.
No, it seemed like a real, and you know, and obviously that's another thing where I try to remember that it's not, I don't even think it's the majority of people, but they're just, everyone's got a platform now. Everybody can get loud about whatever dumb shit they want to say, including me. And I don't know, once you realize
that's amazing
that,
in some ways.
In some ways, right? It's incredible. Well, it's what we all wanted, right? The democratization of the internet. Everybody will have a voice, you know?
But should everybody have a megaphone? Right. I don't think so.
You were so busy asking if you could, you never asked if you should.
Right.
I hate to repeat myself, but I posted on Facebook about 6 weeks ago, and it's just still, this is going to be something I'm going to think of for the rest of my life. There is no possibility of an AI lyricist ever writing truly great songs.
Right.
There's no possibility.
That's not what the Smashing Pumpkins said.
What they said.
A truly great song, but boy, we're going to get a lot of pop songs right now.
But my example was.
Sound like the Black Eyed Peas. Yeah.
My example was there's no way that an AI lyricist writing the song Footloose would have ever come up with the lyric, kick off your Sunday shoes. Mm, it's just not possible.
Probably
that
not.
Is so random and, you know, it's so human. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what
I did notice something though, Dunaway. I'm looking at your dinosaur chasing girl thing.
Yeah,
look at her pinky.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but that's the thing. This is why I tell people all the time: like, if you think that AI in any time soon is going to be as simple as typing in, a prompt, as simple as bubble girl running from dinosaurs, it's not going to be that.
Look at
it's
her
gonna
upper
be,
lip.
It's right. You're gonna create something like this. This is like a sketch. It's like what I do already, which is whenever I sketch anything, the first thing I do is I write down words, which is like an AI prompt. And then I quickly sketch out something and it may end up having six fingers.
Oh, my gosh. I just realized that the green dinosaur has five legs.
Yeah, it's got three rear legs. The dinosaur behind that, it's got like two mouth tongue units and some kind of skis.
AI is not going to replace humans. It's not going to
Also, what is she holding? Is that some kind of like.
So that's the bubble wand. So I fed this AI. I fed it initially with an image.
It's a baby alien. Is what it is. It looks like a
right. She's holding a. She's the. If you've never seen Bubble Girl running, she's holding a wand in one hand, and she's got a bubble wand, and then she's got the bubbles in her other hand.
It looks like shellfish.
I didn't realize Bubble Girl was a thing before this.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's an old meme. It's an old meme. Yeah, look at Bubble Girl. And
just don't look up Tub Girl. Don't make that mistake.
Yeah, don't look at that.
I won't look at that. That one I've heard of.
But I also posted that 4-panel comic strip, and I tried to do it as quickly and as cheaply as I could. So I made it with stick figures, and I used ChatGPT to write a haiku, and I put as little effort into it as I could to see if I could make something that would rise above at least the amount of effort I put into it. Well, and it didn't. It was exactly what you would think.
It is what you'd think, yeah. And it created a wonderful new dinosaur with three rear legs. And
there's a post below that. This big actual 4-panel.
There it is.
Haiku. Yeah.
It's not bad, although I hate the art, but it's not bad.
Yeah. I think this was. I heard immediately people complain about AI, and I heard the exact same thing in reference to stick figure comics from all of my syndicated comic friends when I was doing a podcast. I was talking to those guys on Comics Coast to Coast, and they were all like, oh, this is bullshit. How can XKCD have such success when they're just drawing stick figures? The writing is fantastic, and people consumed it, and it was fine. But the artists were so mad because they were all spending 8 hours a day making art, real art, and this was just some bullshit shortcut, and they were mad about it.
Yeah,
feels the same.
It's yeah, you're not wrong. I'm XKCD went. Remember that whole period when that first got popular?
That was disruptive.
Everybody lost their shit. Like I remember Scott Kurtz alone was like ready to pop and destroy the world.
Yeah.
That was draw some stick figures out, just kill somebody.
I really wonder if in our lifetimes we're going to see AI autofill movies where you take a movie and you can say from the beginning, like you can just tell your computer, I want to watch a PG-13 version of this. I want to watch an R-rated version of this. I want to watch a hardcore pornography version of this. And then all of this stuff just gets auto-generated.
Should have started with that. Yeah, you should have started with the porn first.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, you're right.
Where it all just gets generated, and then you're watching it, and you're having a unique experience, or maybe not. Maybe you're seeing, one of 17 versions of a movie that anybody else could dial up and see.
You could probably just say, here's the beginning of the movie, here's the end of the movie, use AI to fill in the generative fill in the end.
I like that idea. That's not bad.
And are we also looking at a future where some really good filmmaker embraces that kind of technology, delivers great results, and then all the other artists hate his guts?
Well, the other day somebody put up a book they'd written entirely with with these tools and published it in the art on the front and everything. It was like the whole, look, yeah. I did the whole thing in 5 minutes or whatever. And yeah. I thought to myself, if I could sit down and say, I want a science fiction story that involves A, B, and C and go. And then it gives me a story for me to read. That's unique and interesting, maybe as an experiment to read myself.
Right.
If you're going to do that and then sell that book to me, I'm not buying that stupid book. It sounds like a terrible thing. I don't want to read your AI generated thing. So I think there's this weird concept or there's maybe a disconnect between the people who are very pro AI bros out or, you know,
AI bros,
dime a dozen. Those people drive me crazy. But those who are also on the other extreme where they just want to Luddite through this and not deal with it at all. I think something in the middle may be more true, which is on a personal level, Ibbot, who loves music and has loved it his whole life and has the longest running music podcast in the history of the medium. I could see sitting down going, computer in the form of the Beatles, please create this with this and the driving beat and the burp, and then you would enjoy what you made because you were there for it and you had these ideas and you did the thing. But nobody wants Ibbot's song on Spotify. What they all want is what Ibbot had, which is their own little experience with that. And I think that's where people get mixed up. They think it's going to take over and be the mainstream thing that you now buy, download, subscribe to. But really, you're not thinking enough about how this is more of a you and computer experience. It's you working with it. It's like a single player video game. It's you and the game, not the world and the game. So I feel like that's maybe where this is headed, and people don't think about it that way, or at least I didn't.
You got to put a human in the shirt is what I always say.
Like
You can design a ton of awesome looking shirts and you can infinity shirts. AI may make it so that you can have a website where you're selling infinity shirts. But when I'm walking around and I see a shirt and I say, oh, that's really cool, there is a human in the shirt. Yeah. And that's like a perfect metaphor for me. I'm probably never going to love a movie that people weren't involved in.
There's no way. And even if it was fed with previous humans and their input, which is what the AI is doing, right? It's not going to connect to the day. Once again, I'm going to reference the movie we watched today because it's so disconnected. It's one of the older movies we've ever watched, 1965. You just couldn't make a movie that we would enjoy today because people change so fast. So you can't feed in historical data into an AI and expect it to be cutting edge because it doesn't know the next step. It only knows what has been told.
Right.
Humans are always innovating.
Even when humans do that, they say, well, I want a spy thriller in the 60s. They're now going to be playing with tropes and costume era stuff. And it's going to be not a parody, but it's going to be very referential to the era, not in the era. Like, how would you even recreate that? I agree.
Okay, so we saw movies when we were growing up. We saw a bunch of boomers who were making movies for their childhoods that actually was speaking to our generation at the time. That was pretty amazing, and something that is super complex that an AI just couldn't understand. There's a level of complexity there. It's like saying computers can replace the human brain. Yeah. I mean, to a certain degree, they can do a lot of calculations and do it faster and better, but then there's other things that are way more complex.
There's no computer at this stage anyway is going to console a 6-year-old who crashed her bike.
Right. That's a human experience, can do
that.
Right.
Yeah. A human can do that even intuitively, but a computer can't do that intuitively.
Maybe if we crashed a computer on a bike and then let them console the kid.
Oh, yeah. We have to train the data. I see what you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
They don't call it machine learning for nothing. You know,
that's right. When the computer gets up and it's crying and holding his leg going.
You got to push that TSR 80 down a hill on a four wheeler and let it crash. Yeah. I like that idea a lot. You know what I'm going to do? I'm putting today's pre-show up for everyone as a teaser to say for two reasons. This one, I think this was really good. Two, I want to say, hey, look what you're missing every week if you don't join our Patreon. So happening today.
Yeah. If you don't join our Patreon, you'll never realize how profound it is that you got to put a human in the shirt.
Yeah. Human in the Shirt might be the name of this little off, this little one-off.
I'm using AI to create a comic right now. Human in the Shirt.
Human in the Shirt. That's your new Guy in a Bush.
Guy in a Bush. Human in the Shirt.
Human in the Shirt.
Look at all of us reference Guy in a Bush. You know how much all of the world misses Guy in a Bush?
It really does. This, if I could just get the AI to do it for me while I sleep, that would be fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.